God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I'm not generally in favour of sermons about the news of the day, and I managed to do a talk at the last service without mentioning the EU once, but now I'm going to give in. We get plenty of news all week, and on Sundays it's really helpful to have our hearts and minds directed not towards the world, but rather towards the things of heaven. But this last week was an unusual one, a week like no others, and today of all days I think I need to make some reference at least to the political drama which has unfolded around us. In the tidal wave of commentary, one thing was said by a member of our own congregation. She's not here this morning. She said it on Facebook, and it struck a chord with me when she suggested that the vote was not so much about anyone's feelings about Europe, but the result of a huge build-up of dissatisfaction with how this country has developed over many years, which has led to a divide between the cities and the rest of the UK. And I think that is right. The centres of power, London, Oxford, a few places in the southeast like Bristol, voted to remain, along with Scotland, which has a far more devolved political system, while the rest of the country, it seems, voted in the majority to leave the EU because of a feeling of disenfranchisement, a sense of being cut off from the political process and the decision-making which affects all our lives in so many ways. Our readings today are about power, they are about the way that we treat one another, and about belonging, which I think is an appropriate balance for such a Sunday. The reading from the first book of Kings reminds us that ups and downs among rulers is certainly nothing new. Since time began, there have been leaders and powerful allegiances which have come and gone, been replaced and then reformed. Some have worked for a time, well or less well, for different people in different ways. And even in Israel, among God's own chosen people, it was rarely plain sailing, and that is a huge understatement. This is, of course, stating the obvious. But perhaps it needs to be said that things will calm down and life will continue. There's a time for leaders to step aside and for power to be passed to the hands of others, in secular and in spiritual authorities. In Britain, there will be winners and there will be losers in the short term and in the longer term, and we can easily guess who the winners will be and who the losers will be. The same people as before, I expect. Galatians chapter 5 is very relevant. It points out the danger of failed human nature outside the influence and the guidance of the Spirit. Within each of us, there's the potential for aggression and for violence, whether physical, emotional, or verbal. But we must find ways to put others first, to respect the feelings and the life of those who are different to ourselves. And we should thank God, not for our own self-control, but for the gift of the Spirit, even at work in us. I find it utterly amazing and wonderful that we've just had this poll, and despite the strong feelings on both sides, there has, as far as I can see, been no violence or aggression, saving, of course, the tragic death of Joe Cox, which seems to have been the terrible action of one deranged man, and the price paid by one dedicated woman and her grieving family for a political system based on Christian principles of trust, vulnerability, and respect. Joe Cox's death highlights this starkly. She gave her life because she made herself vulnerable as a representative of her constituency members, who, like all our MPs, was not locked away behind security doors, but lived and worked among and for the people she served. She made herself vulnerable in this way so that people could be heard and understood, loved and cared for in our society. And this is surely the Christian way, to take a risk, to put ourselves in a position where our own life even might be in danger because of the values that we're living for, the valuing of other people made in the holy image of God. and with a sense that those things which are worth living for are also worth dying for too. In the days to come, as ever, we will need to seek out and encourage in ourselves and in others these precious gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit which Paul describes: love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and certainly self-control. There is no law against these things. If we think about the Gospel reading, I find it interesting that Jesus came up against closed borders and communities, as it's recorded in Luke. Many people on the roads and pathways between Syria and North Africa and Europe have come up against much the same experience, though they are, of course, much further from home than Jesus was. Whether it is a father with two children, a man who's lost his wife in the bombing, or a child travelling with distant relatives whose own family was killed, or a man whose village was attacked and who fled first to one country and then to another, looking for peace, for a place to work, a place of security. The experience of soldiers and razor wire at the border, or as in today's Gospel reading, a village and then another village where doors are locked shut and no one will give bread, let alone shelter, is a harrowing reality for hundreds of thousands of people in our world today as in the past. After 2,000 years, we need to find a better way to treat our neighbours. Perhaps the trouble is that we don't really see refugees and migrants as neighbours at all. As an anthropology undergraduate, I remember reading about the Nuer people in Sudan, who in the 1930s were in conflict with the nearby Dinka tribe. According to Evans Pritchard, the British anthropologist who has a blue plaque just along the road here, the Nuer understood the Dinka to be people like them, and if in a conflict a Dinka was killed, it was necessary to pay reparation to their family in cattle. But if you killed somebody from another tribe outside the Nuer or the Dinka, you needed to pay no reparation because they weren't human in the same way as we were. The fighting in Sudan between these groups of people is tragically still going on, and some of our refugees and migrants are fleeing from its horror even today. And we, I think, are in danger of seeing anyone who is not in the like us category as somehow less than a neighbour, somehow less than deserving of the love that we would extend to people who are like us. The rest of today's Gospel reading is, I think, quite difficult. There's a conflict in the recorded teaching of Jesus between our responsibilities towards God and our responsibilities towards our families. The demands of discipleship are seen here to override the powerful Jewish teaching about our responsibility to our parents and our families. We must accept that there will be conflict in this area, as in others at times. In the reading, Jesus speaks movingly about the places where we belong, about our homes, about our communities, our families, our nests, our foxholes. We have many places and people with whom we identify in different ways, including hometowns, institutions like school or university or regiment or company or government department for some of you, or nation or football team even, and still larger identities like the EU. And we use these identities to know, I think, who we are. And so I am Emmy's boy. I'm from Caterham. I'm an Anglican. I'm a priest. I'm a Londoner. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm British and I'm European too. And for many people, actual bricks and mortar are a focus of that identity as well, especially if you've lived a long time in a family home, or if you live in a house which represents for you a lifetime of work, of saving and homemaking. I believe that Jesus really recognises and values these identities. He knows us and he accepts that we need them. And he wishes us to make our identities and our home places places where his compassion is demonstrated and worked out in daily life, in social cohesion and in just laws, and in the relationships with our families, our neighbours and our friends. Jesus said the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, and particular people are certainly called to lay aside other ties to follow him and to serve him. This weekend, people will be getting ordained and have been getting ordained around the country and around the world, and they are setting off on a new journey, separated from some of the ties and some of the responsibilities which held them before. But this doesn't mean that any of us should be cut off from the people and places where we belong and where we are needed. Yet Jesus sets before us another kind of belonging. And whatever the practical ways in which we are embedded in our families, in our homes, in our communities, or even in our nations, there is a spiritual belonging which is on another level altogether. As Christians, we are members of a family of the church. We are citizens of another realm, which is God's kingdom, and are subject to a different law and a different authority, which is the reign of God and the law of love. We pray today that the love of God, the principles of God's kingdom, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit may abound in us, in our homes, in our communities, in our discipleship, and throughout this and every nation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.